Jesus. Good morning. Welcome to God's house. What a place of life, right? There literally is death in the world. We just heard a story. Check, check. We just heard a terrible story of someone here from the congregation. Their granddaughter just went to their best friend's house and saw death. All right, there was murder. Guys, there is death in the world. There's only life in Jesus. Only life in Jesus. Right? So we want to create a place of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and honor. A place where this place is flowing and streaming with life. When you guys come, for you to be filled, for you to be encouraged, for you also to be convicted, to realize that the world offers no good food. It might look appealing, but there's nothing good out there. There is nothing good out there. Awesome. So speaking of food, next week is our family feast. We want to thank June and her team for, thank you so much. Every week, every month, they take care of the kitchen. And we want to honor Donna, the beautiful woman over there in the pink. It's the only time you'll see Tony dance, so take advantage. But yeah, Donna, she took care of the kitchen for years and years. But right now we've got June who is in charge. And so we want to honor Donna and then also thank June for what you do, for taking on. So family feast, what is that? We eat together once a month. Is this better?
Yeah, just use that. It's that little one.
Doesn't work? Okay. So we eat together once a month because we believe that when you break bread together, literal bread, good bread, food, your best dish, your favorite dish, something amazing happens. Sam likes to call it those Emmaus moments where Jesus shows up. When you're eating together, Jesus shows up. So we make that it's a pillar in our community once a month. So that will be next week. Also, we will be having a covenant class following the family feast. What is a covenant class? It is not necessarily a class. It is just a, we want to get to know you and you want to get to know us session. And so there are questions, there's teaching. Ricardo tells you and lets you know who we are and there's dialogue. And we believe not in membership but in covenant, because membership, there's conditions and there's perks and it's all about me. Where covenant is, it's all about our unity together with Christ. And so we believe that whether you come to this church or not, we as believers are in covenant with the body of Christ all over the world. So we just, you know, we're tired of people just going from place to place to place to place, not really plugging in and having a home. I don't have a problem with people moving from church to church depending on their season or what God wants them to learn. It's not about that. It's about plugging in, letting people talk into your life, letting people influence you, and you also being able to serve others. That's what covenant is. And so that's what we believe in. And so after family feast next week, we'll be having that class. Is it going to be here? Is it going to be in the sanctuary? Okay. So when, what time? Not a time? Because family feast sometimes can go on for a while. So if Ricardo jumps up and says, hey, everybody interested in the covenant class, come on down, then you'll meet here, right? Okay. That's how it's going to be. Perfect. And also, thank you so much for everybody who mowed the lawn last month. We've got a new schedule for June and July. As I demonstrated last week, the fabulous clipboard is in the foyer, so please sign up for that. Even if you don't know how to mow the lawn, it's okay, right?
We'll teach you.
Yeah, and the riding mowers, they're fun. I've done it a couple times. Where's Alyssa? Alyssa is going to be going on a missions trip in 2 weeks. Would you want to come up and talk about that? Hello. I kind of lost my voice, guys. Praise God that I could sing this morning. Yes, I'm actually leaving next Sunday, right after worship, I'm gonna go to Pennsylvania, and then I fly out with my grandpa and another pastor, correct, on Monday. So I'm just gonna be in my aunt's village, which is Mafue and Jala in Sierra Leone, near Makeni City. So I'm probably just gonna teach at the school, hang out with the kids. I was a lot of kids. I was there last year for 4 months, so all my little babies are probably grown now. So it'll just be good to be with them. I'm not sure what my grandpa's gonna do, but I'm gonna be with the kids and hanging out with everybody. So I thank you for those who have already supported me with money and prayers, and I'm just excited to come back and give you all the stories. Yeah.
All right, stretch your hands. I didn't volunteer her for that. She felt like she needs to go. So we stand by her. Amen. Father, we thank you for Alyssa. We thank you for just planting this seed in her heart to just go. Go where it's very not comfortable, no running water, outhouse, mosquitoes, rain. But for somehow, Lord, you just sent her this deep desire to go and just bring joy and support to Katrina and the team there. Lord, as they get ready with Grandpa and another pastor, the three of them goes, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would pave the way for them, Lord, that this would be a very fruitful trip by the power of the Holy Spirit. You would put your words in their mouth. Even their presence there would just bring hope to those young girls, young kids, and everybody they come in contact with. So yes, Lord, thank you for your protection. We thank you for just sending them out there. We sent them, in the power of the Holy Spirit, heal the sick, cast out demons, and raise the dead in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We bless you, Alyssa. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Yeah, she's going to visit one of our missionaries, Katrina Smoker. She's been there for about 7 years. It's a very dark place. They even practice, is it female circumcision? When they become of age. And so the drums were beating last week, and some of the girls that Katrina has been with for 7 years decided to join. So very heartbreaking. But we encourage her. We say, you know what? This might be the last generation, Maybe their kids. You know what I mean? Maybe these kids that she's ministering to, they will understand the light and life, and they won't allow it for their children. So it's a dark place. Pray for our missionaries. Yeah. Okay. I'm transitioning.
Let me help her transition. Father, I thank you for Kendra being bringing your word today. Lord, thank you for what you've put in her. Thank you that she's a beloved daughter of yours. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd rest on her. We, as your daughters and your sons, we make room for you, Holy Spirit, to teach us. Yes, Holy Spirit, teach us. Use her. May she flow in you. Let our hearts be like good soil to receive what you have for us today. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right, I do need a Kleenex, though. I often cry. Huh? Does anybody else cry? I cry and I tremble and I lose my voice, all the things. And it's like, Lord, why me? I'm not a very eloquent speaker. But I believe that just as he has given each one of you a part of his heart, he has given me a little bit of his heart for the church. God loves the body. He loves you. He loves his church. Soiled and worn out as we are, he sees the potential in each one of us, sees what he created us to be, and he constantly pours into us, right? And so that's what we strive to develop here, a place where God can do that. It's not about us telling you what to do. It's about us declaring the word of the Lord over you. And that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to declare the word of the Lord over you. I'm speaking to your spirits. To those of us who have been in Christianity, who've grew up in the church for ages, oftentimes we put ourselves on autopilot. I'm going to be speaking to your spirit to wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Somebody had a word years ago. They said they saw many of us in this church sitting on cushions with feathers, very comfortable. And the Lord was one by one taking the feathers out, making us uncomfortable. We will never stop talking about repentance. Yes. We will never stop talking about we have to change our ways. Yes. We will never stop. Even Jesus had to wash his disciples' feet, and Peter says, "Oh Lord, not me. You're not." Jesus says, "Yeah, I need to wash your feet. You're clean, but your feet are dirty." And that's what happens, right? We walk out in the world and we get dirty. We get dirty. We can't help it. We get soiled. We get dirty. We need to constantly be reminded to repent, to be washed, to be clean, to be whole. It's good. It's so good. So I'm not about to give you a motivational speech, 1, 2, 3 points, and for you to walk away saying, "Okay, I'm good, check that box." No. That's not what we're about. We speak to the heart, and we challenge, and the word corrects us, and it exhorts us, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's encouraging. So today, if this word encourages you, praise the Lord. If it challenges you, change. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So I have a question for you. Where are you? All right, where are you in your relationship to the Lord? Where are you? Over and over we see in Scripture that there are two ways. That's it. Just two choices. In the garden, two choices. What was choice number one? The tree of life. And choice number two, knowledge of good and evil. And what did Adam and Eve choose? They didn't choose life. They chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They wanted to know everything. They were deceived. In Deuteronomy 30:15, Moses says to the people, he says, "I set before you today life or prosperity," right? Death or destruction. There's always two choices. Why do you think our favorite stories are about the Avengers and, you know, the good man kicking the evil man's butt? Like, why? Why is that? Because that there's only two choices. Life or death. Prosperity or destruction. You remember Elijah, or maybe it's Elisha. Which one is it? When he called fire down from heaven? Elijah. In 1 Kings, he said to everybody, "How long will you waver between two opinions?" Right? And that's been the question of the age. How long will you be in that gray area? How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, meaning the world, then follow him. Yeah. Choose you this day, who will you serve? Yeah. Are you in light or are you in death? Where are you in your relationship to Jesus? So I love Matthew 7. I love Matthew. Ladies, I'm still in the book of Matthew. We had our women's retreat back in February, March. We learned about, study the whole book of Matthew. And I'm like, I'm just going to go back and study it little by little. And I'm in Matthew 8 this week. So Matthew 7, I've been in that for weeks and weeks and weeks. Let's put Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Let's read this. Actually, we'll read the whole part. It's Matthew 7, verse 13 all the way to 27. So Jesus just got done teaching the Sermon on the Mount. It's the manifesto of Christianity. It's the constitution. It's who we are. And he's wrapping the Sermon on the Mount up with these verses. And I love Jesus because, you know, it's never really a test. He always gives us the answer before the test. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus gives the answer before he gives the test? Right? Super easy. What teacher does that, right? He wants you so much to follow him. He wants you so much to get it right. He's telling you the answer. Look, he says, enter in by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter in by it. How narrow is the gate and restricted is the way that leads to life. Few are those who find it. Verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. By their fruit you will know them. Do you gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree produces good fruit, but the corrupt tree produces evil fruit. Verse 18, a good tree can't produce evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't grow good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit you will know them. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will tell me in that day, oh, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name cast out demons, in your name do mighty works? Then I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Everyone, therefore, who hears these words of mine and does them, I will like him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and its fall was great. So I'm looking at all of these verses this past month, and I'm like, we have preached and studied each section individually. What does it all mean together? Like, why are these Jesus' final words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount? This is his call to repentance. You know, at the end of a sermon or a talk or some, there's supposed to be some sort of response, right? And so we need to respond to this. This is his call to us to respond. So we see here that there are two options. The first option is what? What's the first option? In verse 13. All right, there's a wide gate. It's broad. And where does that lead? To destruction. And there's another gate that's narrow. It's difficult. It's restricted. And that leads to life. So there's only two ways. There's only two gates. There isn't a middle. There's only two. And I love the version that I'm studying is the world version, right, Ange? The New World Version. Yeah, the World English Version, actually. World English Bible, this version. And I love in verse 14, it says, how narrow is the gate and restricted is the way that leads to life. That word restricted, I looked that up in the Greek. And do you know what that word means? It means to press like grapes. It means hard upon. It means compressed. It means constricted. It means afflicted. It means distressed. So listen to this. How narrow is the gate, the way to life, and restricted? Show me those pictures. I found some pictures. Look at that. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Look at all those people. But narrow is the gate and restricted is the way that leads to life. And it's through the cross. I don't know if you can see very well, but there's three people in there. And look at that guy in the middle. Show me the other picture. Look at that one. Narrow is the gate and restricted is the way. Pressed like grapes. If you want life, this is the way.
Yeah.
This is the way. Then in verse 15 it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're wolves. By their fruit you will know them." And he goes on to talk about good trees producing good fruit and bad trees producing bad fruit. And then he says again, a second time, this is important. He says, by their fruits, you will know them. And I'm thinking, okay, he's talking to Jews. He's talking to a religious people. He's talking to a people who know the law. He's talking to God's people. He's talking to God's people. And he's saying, beware of false prophets. He's saying, beware of corrupted trees. He's saying, beware of their fruit. And I started realizing something. And then in verse 21, it says, Lord, Lord, we did all these things. We've got prophets. We've got trees. We've got prophecy. We've got casting out demons. We've got people doing mighty works. I'm like, I always thought that the narrow road and the broad road was for all of the non-Christians, everyone who's practicing immorality and all this stuff. And the straight and narrow is for all of us Christians. But you know what I see here? I realize that there are two kinds of people that are in the broad road. Of course, those that are in rebellion and refuse to turn their backs. But the other group of people is those who practice an outward religious performance. They are performance-based. They call themselves prophets. That's a religious word, but they're false. What else do? They prophesy. They encourage people. They cast out demons. They do mighty works. That's all things that people do in the church. This is not people who are in immorality. So no wonder it's broad, because there's room for a lot of people, including those who think they are in Christ but are not. There's one way they proudly hide a corrupt heart behind a righteous-looking behavior. Those are people that are in the broad road. They proudly hide a corrupt heart behind a righteous-looking behavior. They prophesy. They say, Lord, Lord. But their hearts are far from Jesus. And so then I realize, okay, those who are in the restricted way, they are the ones who want transformation, who humbly desire a transformed heart, who truly love the Lord. Genuine heart transformation. Who did Jesus have problems with? He had problems with the religious leaders. He called them hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? That's literally translated an actor. An actor. I listened to a podcast a couple weeks ago, and the question was, why are there so many older leaders in the religious community, why are they falling? Why are they leaving the way? Why? And this one woman, she's in her 60s. She said, I know what they're going through. You put yourself on autopilot. You've been in the church. You know what to do. You know the motions. You know what to say to the people to stir them up. You know how to stir the spirit up. But your heart is not being transformed. Somewhere along the way, it become an act. And they get lazy. Can let that slip. I'll watch that show. I'll go out with that person. I'll drink this. You know what? My need, okay, I'm not going to get all that I need in Christ. Let me try something else to satisfy my needs. And little by little, and then all of a sudden they're caught in a trap. And because they're a public figure, your sin will find you out, and they fall. Such a warning to me. I don't want to be on autopilot. I don't want to be on autopilot. I don't want to come here and fake it. Oh, I'm good. Praise the Lord. I'm good. I'm not good. I'm fine. I'm struggling. Sister, can we meet for lunch? I need to talk to you. Those are people on the straight, the restricted road. And then, what do you mean restricted? I thought we're supposed to be free, right? We're supposed to be free. Look what it says in 24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Or in verse 21, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. So we've got doing the will of my Father. We've got hearing the words and does them. Am I making sense? Right? Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But who will enter into the kingdom of heaven? Those who do the will of my Father. And then in verse 24, those who hear the words, and not just hearing, but they do them. And then he says his house is going to be built on the rock. So that's where the restriction is. You can't do what you want. You do the will of your Father in heaven. You hear the words and you do them. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he didn't do. Over and over and over again in John, it says, I do the will of my Father. I do the will of my Father. I do the will of my Father. So those who do the will of the Father, those who hear the words, and they do them, that's not fun. That's restriction, right? Because in your soul, you want to wander and do what you want to do. You have a better idea. You have a better plan of how you think you should run your life. But that's where the friction comes in. What's that song about the grapes? Ah, oh, we're pressing. We're hard pressed. And we let the Lord make us into the wine that he wants. There's that suffering. Just like Amy said today, it was for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. So this suffering that we're going through, what kind of suffering? We don't choose what we want, but now we live by the Spirit and choose what Jesus wants. That produces a suffering because we're in this battle against good and evil. We're in this battle between which road we should take. We're in this fight between our flesh and the Spirit. And so the more that we feed our Spirit, then the easier it gets. And the more joy it is. Because you're like, you know what? I really want to do this. But Lord, I will take the restricted way. I will become the form of the cross. That's why I love that picture. Put it up on the screen for me again. They're literally taking the form of the cross, right? They're squeezing through it. And it takes effort. Look how free everybody else is. But what the interesting part of it is, that's where you find true freedom. The world does not understand that. How could you be free if you can't do what you want to do? Just think about parents and children for a while, right? Right? If you would never restrict those children, and we've seen those children who are not put into the form of holy righteousness, They come out wild. It's just the way of human nature. We need to focus our eyes on Jesus, on Him alone. Stay on that path. I'm reminded of the vision that I had last month when I was sitting right there in that corner of me on a straight road, and right beside me, someone was right here, and this terrible beast came up and gobbled him up. And then I was taken up into the air, and I saw myself on this road, and I saw that the beast was the world, and anybody that was outside of this road was getting eaten up. That's what this is. That's what this is. That road leads to life. It's restricted. It's narrow. You can't do what you want to do. You do the will of your Father, but your house is built on the rock. And when the storms and the floods and all the craziness comes, then you stand and there's life. There is life. Now let's talk about some fruit. Let's talk about fruit. It also says that a good tree produces good fruit, but a corrupt tree produces evil fruit. And by their fruit, you will know them. Listen to this. Broad is the way of life that turns us into people who appear decent and well-mannered from the outside, but harbor deadly wickedness inside. Over time, these issues of bitterness, judgment, selfishness, indifference, they destroy our relationships with God and others, and that's what leads to death. Why does the broad way lead to death? Why? Why do, when you're in the broad road and you do what you want, you do what the flesh wants you to do, you produce evil fruit, why does that produce death? It's your actions. The fruit is your actions. You let bitterness and judgment, selfishness harbor inside of you. That destroys your relationship with God and with others, and it leads to death. It really is all about relationships. The fruit. Think about it. What is fruit? It's apples and oranges and bananas, right? It's what you eat. If you don't eat, you'll die. If you do eat, you'll live. So the way that you treat others, your relationship with God and with others is going to show everybody what road you're on. By their fruit, you will know. Now, we're not judging anybody, but we know. We're not judging anybody. There's no condemnation, but we know. When you can't forgive and you're bitter and you're turning to other loves instead of Jesus, I know you have this tendency to be on the broad road. Jesus said again, by their fruits you will know them. And then if they get into positions of authority, that's why Jesus says they're false prophets. Beware of following people like this, because they say they're prophets, but they're not. By their fruit, you will know them. By the way they treat their wife, by the way they treat their employee, by the way that they drive and talk to the people out on the road who can't even hear them, by the way that they entertain themselves, you will know them. By their fruit, you will know them. By their fruit, you will know them. So I have this little... Latanya, you want to help me? And Ricardo? Yeah. You can bring that water over here. So life, right? We want to be a people of life. We want to be a people that is giving good fruit. We want to be a people that position ourselves under the water of the Holy Spirit so that we can give out good fruit. And when we give out good fruit, then we meet the needs of others. We want to be a people that meet the needs of others. Jesus meets our needs. He is our good shepherd. We do not want. And so out of that overflow of our needs getting met, through him, we can meet the needs of others. So here's just a little example. Actually, Ricardo is going to hold the water. He's God. He's so happy to be the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he can hold both of the... Okay, he's Holy Spirit. Yeah, you can hold both. LaTanya and I, we are, you know, just people loving Jesus. And I'll go first, so just wait for me. LaTanya has no idea what we're doing. Okay, so what does it say in Revelation? Jesus, Holy Spirit, and God, knock, knock, knock on your heart. And if you open up, right? I will come in and sup with you, drink with you, eat with you, all right? So Jesus is like, knock, knock, knock. I'm like, I'm here, Jesus. Oh, yes, fill me up, Lord, till I overflow. But shoot, we can't overflow. Fill me up, God, hallelujah, thank the Lord. And there's more than enough, right? This water never runs dry. Oh, thank you, Lord. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, I need some more. Thank you, Jesus. Now LaTanya comes over to me. And she's like, sister. Oh, sister. You had a hard day.
Please, this was just such a hard day. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I'm just so tired. I'm so tired.
Sister, this is what Jesus told me. This is what he showed me. This is what the word says. Be filled, sister. Hallelujah. And we pray. She goes away. We are just blessed. I'm meeting the needs for her. She's meeting my needs. There is life. There is joy. There's happiness. Let's go get more. Let's get filled up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, you are so good. You are so good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now what happens if after a couple days, me and her are drinking, you know? We need patience. We need kindness. We need grace for the job. Oh, those kids of mine. Oh, my gosh. Jesus, we just, this is so. Oh, my gosh. And now she comes. Now I go to her. Oh, LaTanya, I just feel so dry. Oh.
Girl, pray. I don't know what to tell you.
Guy, I'm just so dry. I don't know what to do. I feel like everything's falling apart.
I've been there, girl. I'm tired, too. I'm falling apart, too.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, what the? And then, you know what happens? Because we can't help each other. I'm going to go over to Mrs. X and say, man, I don't know what's going on with LaTanya, but gosh, she is so dry. Yeah, dry bone. Well, I'm dry bone too, right? You know? And I actually went to the hospital and she didn't even visit me. I mean, oh my gosh. Like, I had this project going on at church and she always helps me, but I don't know what her problem is. So I'm dry. She's dry. We cannot, there's death. Now what are we doing? We're producing death in this relationship, death within the whole body, all because we are not producing fruit. And where do we get this fruit? Where do we get this water? From Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you don't have just enough for yourself and your own stuff, but you have enough to pour into other people. Right? Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, guys. I actually was thirsty. That's what being on the straight road looks like. You do the will of your Father. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You have enough for yourself. You have enough for others. And you produce good fruit that produces life. And then when you do that, first of all, in your family. First of all, in our families. I know many of us have come from broken homes, and that's okay. Maybe some of you, you're the only one that's serving Jesus in your home, and that's okay. But God's plan is for each family to be a little church. Each family to be a little church. You don't go to church on Sunday. You are the church at your home with your family. First of all, and there's all kinds of situations, divorce, and maybe a spouse isn't saved, or maybe your spouse died, or I don't know. There's just so many factors. Your kids don't want to serve Jesus. But you, as the priest of your home, and when I say priest, I'm talking about women as well. You can stand in the gap for your family. Don't compromise. And we'll help you pray, because that is the first place that the gospel needs to be manifest. That's the first place where you need to be fruitful. That's the first place where you need to meet each other's needs. No, you cannot meet each other's needs outside of relationship. You cannot. When you try to meet your need or others' needs outside of a relationship, then you choose the easy way. And you get into drugs and sex and things to soothe your problems. But when you do the hard work of managing life's relationships, where I can meet your need and you can meet my need, that's where life is. But oftentimes we're like, we don't have the skills to manage these relationships. We don't do what the word says. We listen to bad advice. And so we're not meeting each other's needs. And then there's death. Jesus meets our need out of relationship. If you skip over to chapter 8, his first miracle that he did was to a leper. And after he walked down from the mountain, he was up on the high place having a glorious time. Isn't that what mountaintop experiences represent? Glorious times. What did he do? He went down from the mountain, and there was a leper that was there. There was a leper. So he, Jesus, is going to come down into your world, into your mess, into your leprosy, into your problems, into your stress. And the leper came and worshiped him. And he said, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and he said, I want to be made clean. Relationship. He wants a conversation. I love the story, what Ricardo did a couple weeks about the blind man. Jesus said, what do you want? Well, obviously he's blind. Jesus wants a relationship with us. He meets our needs through a relationship with him. That is the straight road. And if you try and get your needs met outside of him, it'll only produce death. And so the same way that Jesus meets our needs through relationship, we need to be able to meet each other's needs through relationship. That's why we love relationships around here. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, whether you're sick or not, we need each other. And your level of relationship with a person sometimes changes depending on seasons of life and different things, but you gotta stay connected to the body. That is the straight road. That's what's gonna produce fruit in our life. By your fruit, they will know. So let's take a look at our hearts. What fruit are you producing? What fruit are you producing? What road are you on? What road are you on? Put that picture up there again, please. Are you on the straight, restricted road? Or are you on the broad, hypocritical road, showing everybody that you're good, that you got it all together? You know, 2 Timothy 3:5 says that in the last days there will be people who have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. We are in the last days. We do not want to have a form of godliness, but we deny the power of the Holy Spirit that actually enables us to abide, to produce fruit. It's in that abiding every day with him. It's out of that overflow. We have enough of water for ourselves and enough for everybody else. That's the kind of community I want to live in, right? A pool that's teeming with fish and it's alive. And I mean, it's got not a dead sea. We want something like, I want life. I want life. And I want to be with people who want life too. I don't want to be with a bunch of dead people. Do you want to be with a bunch of dead people? No. That's why we come to church, right? Because we want to be with people who are alive in Christ. So the level of your intimacy with Jesus is actually going to affect me. And it's not just Ricardo and I. When Ricardo and I walk out this building and we're finished being pastors here, will this church still be here? Are you following Ricardo because you like his style? Or are you following Jesus? Right? Pastors come and go. We just passed this church last week. It says, thank you, Bob, 20 years of being a pastor. How amazing. But that congregation is really going to go through a transition. 20 years with a pastor, you get used to somebody. You get used to their style. You like this, you like that, or you don't like this. And then there's someone, Jesus is the pastor of this church. Jesus is the pastor. And so how are you cultivating relationships among yourself? It's not just about your relationship with us or about your relationship with a Sunday morning. It's your relationship with each other, so that when one of us moves to Texas, for us to be so sad. And that when you come back, you come and visit. Because that has happened. Sam, I don't know how many people I've seen. Pauline, you know so many people that have moved away and they still come back. Why? Not because of the relationship with the pastor, but because of the relationship with the body of Christ. And if you remember, the fivefold ministry gifts are a team. So it's not about just one single person. It's about a team. It's about the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. And we all are the body. We all have different gifts and do different things, but we are the body. So what path are you on? Do you have a form of godliness, but are you denying the power? Just repent. And if you are on the restricted way, thank the Lord for his grace and his ability. The broad gate leads to death, but the narrow gate leads to life. So if you need to repent this morning, of course, we encourage people to take a physical, to do something, a movement in our physical body as a sign of what's happening inside. That's why we ask people to come forward and kneel, because that solidifies, it sends a message to your flesh, I am repenting. That's why we say, come up front, because it kills the flesh. But you can also repent where you're sitting as well. So God, we just come before you right now. We say thank you, God, for your wisdom. Oh, thank you, Lord, that this word has just been penetrating my soul and it's causing me to just look deep down into how I do things and why I do them and the motives. You are so concerned with our hearts and the motives behind everything that we do. This is not behavior modification. It's not about doing all the right things. It's about having the heart, the right heart posture. So, Lord, we just come before you. I ask that you would convict those that need to repent, Jesus, and that you would encourage those of us, God, who are walking in the Spirit. And who are strong in you. I pray that you would refresh each one of us right now. That you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, God. Fill us afresh. Fill us anew. So invite invite you to come up front and kneel. If the Lord is causing you to do so.
Invite you to just stand in the presence of the Lord. Louie, won't you come up? Kendra, give Louie a mic. Just pray and declare your blessings.
Father God, I want to first thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, that your word will fall on good soil, Lord God, that we would meditate on it, Lord God, and allow it to grow deep in us, Lord God, to become more like you, Jesus, to become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to hear from you. When you give us convictions to get off that broad road and to get on the narrow road so that we may become more and more like you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. I thank you. Restoration family, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.